Hello and welcome to Patron Deities, a show about deities for my patrons. As you can tell by that extremely the same and real introductory music, I am on holiday, and I don't have access to my computer and the sound files and the editing and so on. So this episode's going to be a little shorter and a little rougher than most episodes of Patron Deities. I apologize. Normal service will be resumed shortly. The good news, however, is that there isn't as much to cover in this episode. We're into the last couple of deities in the Finnish mythology section of the 1980 Deities and Demigods supplement for Advanced Dungeons & Dragons 1st Edition. We're probably going to get in one more episode on Finnish mythology in which we talk about what's been left out. And then we're going to move on to a new topic. And hopefully soon I'm going to have a poll up on the Patreon page asking you, my listeners, to choose what the topic for the next section is going to be. So stay tuned for that. Okay, so there's only really two entries left in the Finnish mythology section, Ukko and Untamo. Ukko is maybe the easiest and the most difficult. He's usually just called Old Man, and he is, in a word, God. I mean, he's, you know, God. Not God in the sense of the Christian God, who also makes an appearance in the Kalevala, right? So the very end, Christ turns up, and Wainamoinen leaves Kalevala as a result. But Ukko is just your basic supreme sky god. And, you know, earlier on in this show, I said that Ukko doesn't turn up very much. And I have to sort of revise that. I think that's actually wrong. There isn't a long section of the Kalevala devoted to Ukko in the same way that there is to Wainamoinen or Lemminkainen or Ilmarinen or Kullervo. But he actually appears pretty frequently. He doesn't say much, but he often intervenes to help out one of the heroes of the Kalevala, even someone who's not necessarily a strictly heroic hero, such as Kullervo. If you remember, in the story of Kullervo, Ukko intervened in the conflict between Kullervo and the Maiden of the North. So Ukko does, in fact, do a certain amount, just he's never the main character. And this is pretty much what you get from the portrayal of Ukko in the Deities and Demigods book. You know, he's portrayed as not really an interventionist supreme deity. He's supportive of the good heroes. And he says he will never directly intervene in worldly affairs unless there's a strong possibility of the world being destroyed by evil. And instead it says he sends down a warrior maiden to help people, which is not really a feature of the Ukko who appears in the Kalevala. He's perfectly happy to intervene directly. Sometimes he just kind of makes things happen, or as in the case of Kullervo, he kills someone with a magic crossbow bolt. And he's not given a crossbow here, but instead a magic flaming sword. Following the entry for Ukko, we get the air maidens, who are kind of Ukko's agents, angels, or sort of valkyries. And they're pretty much what you would expect. They're, you know, they're the hands-on agents of a hands-off deity. And Ukko is an interesting case. You know, we've actually had a couple of these pantheons where there is a sort of central supreme deity, but they're not necessarily the most important one. I mean, I think it's really interesting that in the Sumerian and Norse mythology sections, we've had the head of the pantheon at the beginning of the section. But at the beginning of this section, we had Wainamoinen, who's not even a god, because there's just no way to argue that Ukko, the nominal supreme deity of this mythology, is in fact the most important character. Which maybe you could say Odin is, but I don't think you could make that case for Enlil. You know, if you think about what goes on in Sumerian mythology, characters like Enki and Inanna and later, Ninurta, are much more important in terms of the stories told about them than the supreme god Enlil. So Ukko is a little bit like Enlil. You can imagine a world in which your player characters swear to Ukko and pray to Ukko, but they don't necessarily interact with Ukko very much. and he seems to be kind of a guardian of cosmic order. Now, again, it says here that he created... it says that he's the master of the sky and the air, and he supports the world. He didn't create the world, of course. That was Ilmatar. And exactly what his relation is to the creation is not very clear, but he basically kind of hangs out in the sky, occasionally answering prayers, and, you know, not really seeming to have an agenda. He's sort of the god of the world as it is. He has a sense of right and wrong, but I do think there's a case to be made that sort of all the characters that we see appeal to Ukko in the Kalevala are very powerful people for the most part. You know, Kullervo, for all that he's not a very good person, has pronounced magical abilities, and he's up against someone who is arguably even worse. And so Ukko intervenes there. The Air Maidens seem like a much more gameable... Detached non-interventionist gods are maybe a lot more useful in a Dungeons & Dragons game, where you might have, like, Ukko might give you a blessing, he might give you a magic sword like he gave to Kullervo. He's quite generous with these magic swords, so perhaps that's why he's represented in the Deities and Demigods book with a magic sword. But it's maybe better that he sends his agents or kind of slightly influences things in your favor, because if he were to intervene, you know, you could just sort of have him on your side, and then that would be pretty straightforward. It's a bit like, I don't know if you've ever read Paradise Lost, but in Paradise Lost there's a big battle scene in which Satan and his angels are thrown out of heaven, and it's very dramatic in terms of its description. You know, legions of angels marching here and there, and whatever, you know, titanic clashes between Michael and Satan. But at the same time, there's absolutely no tension because the good angels are completely impervious to harm. You know, and it's just sort of defiance on the part of Satan to keep fighting them, and he just gets thrown out of heaven because, of course, God is all-powerful, and there's nothing you can do about it. So there's not a lot of narrative tension. I guess there's not a lot of narrative tension in a story that, you know, everybody in the literate West knew how it ended. But you know what I mean. So I think that's really the... Insofar as there's a problem with Ukko, it's that he... Being, you know, basically a benevolent and not all-powerful, but pretty powerful deity, does... I mean, there's not a whole lot of challenge to him. You're very unlikely to find yourself up against Ukko, unless you yourself are particularly evil. And I think that that's sort of the role that the Air Maidens play, is to kind of give you something that's more interactable. Following Ukko, we have Untamo. Now, wait a minute, I hear you say. Untamo is a different guy. Untamo is Kullervo's brother from the story of Kullervo. He's the one who, you know, wiped out Kullervo's village, only it turns out that he didn't, and then, you know, is the victim in Kullervo's revenge scheme. Yeah, this is a different Untamo. It seems to be a pretty common name, and in most translations of the Kalevala, it's not... This Untamo's name is not translated Untamo, presumably for that exact reason, which is that it would be confusing. You would get him mixed up with the other Untamo. This Untamo is some kind of god of sleep and dreams, and he appears, I think he appears once in the Kalevala. And that's quite early on at the beginning, when Väinämöinen is about to go fishing and inadvertently catch the mermaid. And in the translation that I have, which is by Keith Bosley, and it's the Oxford University Press World Classics edition, he's just called the Dreamer. And it's literally, this is all that happens. So Väinämöinen is depressed because his bride has killed herself. As, you know, well he might be, particularly considering that it was basically his fault. And he goes down to the water, and he... Well, I mean, this is just what it says. She's thrown herself into the sea, and it says, "He stepped full of care and sighs with a gloomy heart to the shore of the blue sea. He uttered a word, spoke thus, 'Tell now, O dreamer, your dream, O stretched in earth, your vision. Where is Ahto land? Where do his wave wife's maids stretch? Well, the dreamer told his dream, the stretched in earth his vision. Here is Ahto land, and here his wave wife's maids stretch, on the misty headland's tip, at the foggy island's end, down below the deep billows, upon the black mud. There is Ahto land, and there his wave wife maids stretch, in a tiny room, a narrow chamber, beside a bright rock, lodged beneath a thick boulder. And then, so Wainamoinen gets himself his boat and his fishing lines and so on, and off he heads to go fishing. And it says he paddles along, he reaches the island's end, and the misty headland's tip, and the foggy island's end, and so on. A lot of repetition in the Kalevala, if you haven't noticed that by now, which, if this is your first episode, I guess, welcome. So, that's it. You know, there may be another instance of Untamo turning up, again, because he's not named in this translation. It's hard to find things that refer specifically to him. I don't speak Finnish. But he seems to be a kind of oracle more than anything else, right? And if you look at his description in the book, I think they've given some kind of interesting stuff. And so it says that he's mild in all of his actions. He dislikes being summoned for any reason. Anyone who hasn't recently slept for at least 13 hours will instantly go to sleep in his presence. And you have to serve him for a year in order to receive his help in any matter. And if he hits you with his magic club, you will fall asleep, since he's the god of sleep. Now, all of those things are, I don't think they're present in this text, but the ideas make a lot of sense. I don't know about the magic club that puts you to sleep, but certainly here he seems to be, like, we have this idea of, you know, he's the god of sleep and dreams, but dreams are considered to be like prophetic visions. So, you know, Wainamoinen wants to find out where the spirit of his wife may have gone after she has drowned herself, and so he wants to know, you know, where is Ahto land? Remember that Ahto is the god of the sea. And so he, you know, he asks this question of Untamo, and I think, again, this sort of ties almost into last episode, in which we saw that Tuoni and Tuonetar are, you know, are seen as keepers of occult wisdom. So we may see in this mythology a conflation of the afterlife and sleep and dreams and being underwater. You know, these are all things that in various, you know, literatures, various mythologies would tend to symbolize the unconscious mind. You know, the ocean is often a symbol for the unconscious mind and for memory. I think it was John Tynes who, in the D20 Call of Cthulhu rulebook, used the phrase, the sea is a secret, to describe it. And I think that that's a, and he was referring to a theme that runs through the fiction of H.P. Lovecraft, but I think it turns up in a lot of things. And so here, you know, this idea being that, you know, she drowned herself, but also she's actually become some kind of sea creature, which is, of course, what will be borne out in Wainamoinen's encounter with the mermaid. So what are we to make of Untamo? I don't think he is best used in a game, you know, running around bashing people with a club. I think he's much more likely to be someone to whom player characters will go for visions, or that they might consult a cleric of Untamo who's a sort of oracle, you know, who perhaps will enter some kind of sleepy trance and, you know, receive a dream vision. And that, you know, that allows the DM to put as much of a break or an accelerator on the vision as they like, because, of course, you know, a dream vision can be cryptic, and, you know, the person has to go to sleep, and there's no telling how long that might take. And Untamo does not seem like a god who likes to be hurried, right? As the god of sleep, he seems to be, you know, sleepy. So, I think for all the, you know, the scarcity of actual information on Untamo, we can come up with a pretty good series of applications, although I don't know that you would necessarily have a lot of player character clerics or paladins of Untamo. It might also be the case that you want to rename this deity depending on how closely your campaign is based on the Kalevala and on how much your players know about the Kalevala, because it's just confusing that Untamo is also this other guy, this kind of chief. Now, I don't know why that is. Just looking up the name Untamo on the internet, it seems to be not an uncommon name, like a last name in Finland. So it's possible that it's just a common name, or that, these people who have Untamo as their name are named after one or the other of these mythological Untamos. It may be that this is another example of a case where Elias Lönnrot has taken a mythological figure and transposed them into a new situation. Maybe Kullervo's parentage was more explicitly divine originally. I really don't know. So, he's a useful god of sleep and dreams. I think one of the problems with these gods in Finnish mythology is that, we've had a couple of cases with Tuoni, with Mielikki, to a certain extent with Ahto, where we've looked at them and said, well, they're pretty much what you would expect, right? We could say the same of Tapio, although actually for some reason he's not in the Deities and Demigods book. Well, the reason is probably that he's redundant with Mielikki, but that didn't stop them with Tuoni and Tuonetar. Mielikki is a goddess of the forest, and is just what you'd expect a goddess of the forest to be like. Tuoni's a god of death, and he's just what you'd expect a god of death to be like. Ahto is the god of the water, and he's just what you'd expect the god of the water to be like. Ukko is, god, and he's pretty much god. He's pretty much what you'd expect god to be like. And then I think it's because these creatures are not, or these creatures, these gods are not described in any great detail in the Kalevala. They're important, but they're not who the story is about. And the story is told about the mortal heroes of Kalevala, about Väinämöinen and Ilmarinen and Lemminkainen and Kullervo. So as a result, we kind of fill them in with our expectations. This is something that we're going to see whenever we get to Greek mythology, which is that our understanding of, say, Ares is very different from how Ares is actually worshipped. Because yes, Ares is the war god, but he's not the only war god, and he's also the god of a bunch of other stuff. Like, there are there are healing springs that are sacred to Ares. Because we know so much about all these many different cults and ritual practices associated with these gods, we have so much accumulated evidence that we can see that their cults were very diverse and that we can use them in a wide variety of different ways if we want to. But because we only have kind of tantalizing hints of the gods in Finnish mythology, in theory, we could embellish them with whatever detail we wanted. But the reality of that is that we often embellish them not with whatever detail our imaginations come up with, but with what we would sort of logically expect. And what you would logically expect can often be a trap because it's all old information. And we tend to expect the things that we have seen before. And so the result is that, when given the basics, like if you gave 10 dungeon masters the brief God of Fire and didn't go into any more detail about it than that, chances are they would come back with deities that overlapped fairly significantly, because we all have certain assumptions about what it means to be the god of fire. Not that there's anything wrong with that. Again, this is not a comparative religion course, it's a fantasy adventure campaign. So maybe you want your goddess of the forest just to be the goddess of the forest, nurturing, kind of even-handed, maybe a little unpredictable, like nature. It's a metaphor. But it does mean that there's something about the gods as opposed to the heroes of Finnish mythology that's maybe a little less satisfying, right? Väinämöinen or Ilmarinen are much more compelling because of their flaws and unique qualities than, this Untamo or Ukko or Ahto or whoever. Anyway, that's just my perspective. Okay, now I realize this is a little bit of a short episode, but we are, actually, no, we're more or less right on time, actually. But it's because this is a remote episode and I'm doing it on holiday. In our next episode, we're going to be covering some of the characters who didn't turn up, characters and items that didn't turn up in the Deities and Demigods book. So we're going to talk about the magical Sampo and the role of, like, all-powerful magical artifacts in a D&D campaign. We're going to talk maybe a little bit about Sampsa Pellervoinen, who is Väinämöinen's sidekick, protege, something like that, kind of Finland's Paul Bunyan. We're gonna maybe talk about Tapio, the god of the forest, although honestly, I mean, he's a god of the forest and kind of that's it. And, you know, there's probably a few other characters that I'm leaving out as well that we're gonna go back and fill in. So that's all going to be next time on Patron Deities, a show about deities for my patrons. I'm also gonna put up the poll to ask you to choose the topic for our next season of Patron Deities, so be on the lookout for that. Until then, thank you for listening, and thank you very much for supporting Monster Man on Patreon.